Chapter 15. Pharaoh worked. He had nothing else to do, and the thought was often in his mind that now he would be doing it till the day he died. Fool that he was. He told himself a thousand times how big a fool. He kept hoping that Cale would walk into the shop and say, "Father, I've learned my lesson. If you can ever forgive me, teach me the business, and then you retire to a well-earned rest." It was on August 26th that the telestat clicked on just after Farah had finished lunch. "Money call," it sighed. "Money call." Farah and Creel looked at each other. "Eh?" said Farah finally. "Money call for us." He could see from the gray look in Creel's face the thought that was in her mind. He said under his breath, "Damn that boy." But he felt relieved, amazingly relieved. Cale was beginning to appreciate the value of parents. He switched on the viewer. "Come and collect," he said. The face that came on the screen was heavy-jowled, beetle-browed, and strange. The man said, "This is Clerk Pearton of the Fifth Bank of Ferd. We have received a sight draft on you for 10,000 credits. With carrying charges and government tax, the sum required will be 12,100 credits. Will you pay it now, or will you come in this afternoon and pay it?"
But,
said Farah.
Who?
He stopped, conscious of the heavy-faced man saying something about the money having been paid out to Cale Clark that morning on emergency call. At last Farah found his voice.
"But the bank had no right," he expostulated, "to pay out the money without my authority."
The voice cut him off coldly.
"Are we then to inform our central that the money was obtained under false pretenses? Naturally, an order will be issued immediately for the arrest of your son."
Wait.
Farah spoke blindly. He was aware of Creel beside him, shaking her head at him. She was white, and her voice was a sick, stricken thing as she said,
"Farah, let him go. He's through with us. We must be as hard. Let him go."
The words rang senselessly in Farah's ears. They didn't seem to fit into any normal pattern. He was saying,
I haven't got... How about my paying installments?
If you wish a loan, said Clerk Pearton, naturally we will be happy to go into the matter. I might say that when the draft arrived, we checked up on your status, and we are prepared to loan you 11,000 credits on indefinite call with your shop as security. I have the form here, and if you are agreeable, we will switch this call through the registered circuit, and you can sign at once.
Farah, no!
The clerk went on.
The other 1,100 credits will have to be paid in cash. Is that agreeable?
Yes, of course. I've got 2,500...
He stopped his chattering tongue with a gulp, then...
Yes, that's satisfactory.
The deal completed, Farah whirled on his wife. Out of the depths of his hurt and bewilderment, he raged.
What do you mean, standing there and talking about not paying it? You said several times that I was responsible for him being what he is. Besides, we don't know why he needed the money. He said it was an emergency.
Creel said in a low, dead voice,
In 1 hour he stripped us of our savings. He must have done it deliberately, thinking of us as two old fools who wouldn't know any better than to pay it.
All I see, Farah interrupted, is that I have saved our name from disgrace. His high sense of duty rightly done lasted until mid-afternoon, when the bailiff from Ferd came to take over the shop.
But what?
Farah began. The bailiff said,
The Automatic Atomic Repair Shops, Limited, took over your loan from the bank and are foreclosing.
It's unfair, said Farah. I'll take it to court.
He was thinking dazedly. If the Empress ever learned of this, she'd... The courthouse was a big gray building, and Farah felt emptier and colder every second as he walked along the gray corridors. In Glay, his decision not to give himself into the hands of a lawyer had seemed a wise act. Here, in these enormous halls and palatial rooms, it seemed the sheerest folly. He managed, nevertheless, to give an account of the criminal act of the bank in first giving Cale the money, then turning over the note to his chief competitor, apparently within minutes of his signing it. He finished with,
I'm sure, sir, the Empress would not approve of such goings-on against honest citizens.
How dare you, said the cold-voiced person on the bench. Use the name of Her Holy Majesty in support of your own gross self-interest.
Farah shivered. The sense of being intimately a member of the Empress' great human family, yielded to a sudden chill and a vast mind picture of the 10 million icy courts like this, and the myriad malevolent and heartless men like this, who stood between the Empress and her loyal subject, Farah. He thought passionately, if the Empress knew what was happening here, how unjustly he was being treated, she would... Or would she? He pushed the terrible doubt out of his mind, came out of his reverie with a start to hear the Cadi saying, Plaintiff's appeal dismissed, with costs assessed at 700 credits, to be divided between the court and the defense solicitor in the ratio of 5-2. See to it that the appellant does not leave until the costs are paid. Next case. Farah went alone the next day to see Creel's mother. He called first at Farmer's Restaurant on the outskirts of the village. The place was, he noted with satisfaction in the thought of the steady stream of money flowing in, half full, though it was only mid-morning. But Madame wasn't there. Try the feed store. He found her in the back of the feed store, overseeing the weighing out of grain into cloth measures. The hard-faced old woman heard his story without a word. She said finally, curtly, Nothing doing, Farah. I'm one who has to make loans often from the bank to swing deals. If I tried to set you up in business, I'd find the automatic atomic repair people getting after me. Besides, I'd be a fool to turn money over to a man who lets a bad son squeeze a fortune out of him. Such a man has no sense about worldly things. And I won't give you a job because I don't hire relatives in my business. She finished. Tell Creel to come and live at my house. I won't support a man, though. That's all. He watched her disconsolately for a while as she went on calmly superintending the clerks who were manipulating the old, no longer accurate measuring machines. Twice her voice echoed through the dust-filled interior, each time with the sharp, That's overweight, a gram at least. Watch your machine. Though her back was turned, Farah knew by her posture that she was still aware of his presence. She turned at last with an abrupt movement and said, Why don't you go to the weapon shop? You haven't anything to lose, and you can't go on like this. Farah went out then, a little blindly. At first, the suggestion that he buy a gun and commit suicide had no real personal application. But he felt immeasurably hurt that his mother-in-law should have made it. Kill himself? It was ridiculous. He was still a young man, just going on 50. Given the proper chance, with his skilled hands, he could wrest a good living, even in the world where automatic machines were encroaching everywhere. There was always room for a man who did a good job. His whole life had been based on that credo. He went home to find Creel packing. It's the common sense thing to do, she said. We'll rent the house and move into rooms. He told her about her mother's offer to take her in, watching her face as she spoke. Creel shrugged. I told her no yesterday, she said thoughtfully. I wonder why she mentioned it to you. Farah walked swiftly over to the great front window overlooking the garden with its flowers, its pool, its rookery. He tried to think of Creel away from this garden of hers, this home of two-thirds a lifetime, Creel living in rooms, and knew what her mother had meant. There was one more hope. He waited until Creel went upstairs, then called Mel Dale on the telestat. The mayor's plump face took on an uneasy expression as he saw who it was. But he listened pontifically, said finally, Sorry, the council does not loan money, and I might as well tell you, Farah, I have nothing to do with this, mind you, but you can't get a license for a shop anymore.
What?
I'm sorry. The mayor lowered his voice. Listen, Farah, take my advice and go to the weapon shop. These places have their uses. There was a click, and Farah sat staring at the blank face of the viewing screen. So it was to be death